Wasn't that good? God is good. Well, peace according to the Bible is our message this morning. So good morning. Did everyone have a good week? And wasn't the banquet again wonderful last night? It was so good. It was it's amazing. What an amazing month this has been. And I always look forward to it. I love this time of year. How many of you love this time of year? I mean, I don't love winter, but I love this time of year, you know, and I do. It's amazing. And I believe that my greatest Christmas memory with Jesus was also like Linda celebrating our first Christmas together. But with me, it took place a few months before Christmas because my dad flew up to Toronto to be with us before Christmas at my brother's house in Pickering at the time when he lived there. And when I drove my happens all the time so. And when I drove my dad to the airport, we parked, and before he left, I led my dad to the Lord. And he went to know the Lord about 8 months later, but in that 8 months, we had a chance to disciple him. So when you look at your first Christmas with Jesus, you know, like if Jesus wasn't on my radar, I wouldn't even think about that my dad needed salvation or anyone else needs salvation. But because of Jesus within our life and within our heart, makes our hearts tender, it makes it kind, it makes it peaceful, hopeful, all the things we've been talking about the last number of weeks, and all of a sudden, bam, He's Holy Spirit speaks to you, and the lights come on, and you see the potential in someone's life. And I'm telling you, folks, there's nothing in this world that's a greater miracle than standing before someone like this and watch the scales or the blinders come off of their eyes. And you're standing there and you're watching and you're really anticipating this and you're trying to stay cool so you don't freak them out, but you can actually see the blinders lifting on someone's, and then all of a sudden their hearts are open and you just start to download the love of Christ into their life. It's amazing. So I love this time of year, don't you? And so when we drove back, that's happened. Last Sunday, we looked at the advent of hope and how the Old Testament prophecies foretold of the coming of the Messiah about 2,000 years ago. The prophecies became a reality. And as we looked at how we should anticipate hope in Christ and also in His second coming, He's coming again. I know that sounds old school for some that have heard it for many, many years, and people like Dave Patterson, who's been saved for over 50 years, and you hear it all the time, the Lord's coming back, He's coming back. But you know what? He is coming back, because if all these Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus, then He is coming back. We don't know when, but He's coming back. And so we also looked at how we should hope in this. And today we're going to look at peace. So this morning we need to examine the biblical notion of peace, for it's not quite the same thing as what a lot of us have in our mind. It's not just niceness. Like, you know, I hope when we get together for Christmas dinner, everyone's nice. That would make our house very peaceful. Yes, it would. But we're not talking necessarily about that, but that's important as well. We're not talking about political correctness. We're not talking about that. It's not just the absence of armed conflict or a peaceful coexistence, but we want that, don't we? You know, peace on earth and goodwill to all men. We want that, you know. It is not just having a peaceful Christmas with the outlaws. I mean the in-laws, right, you know. And did I say that? How many of you have outlaws in your family? Okay, so I pray a blessing over all of you. Now, you know what? You gave a testimony this morning of Christ, your first Christmas. Now, you know what? Show that. No matter what. Okay? I have an emoticon. that has two band-aids on it, an emoji with two band-aids, and it's on my mouth. And so every time I'm going to say something I shouldn't say, I think of this emoji with two band-aids over my mouth, you know. So practice it. You know, it's not holy, but if you ask Holy Spirit to help you with it, it can be holy. So, you know, so it's not about that. It's rather a right relationship between people that flows from a right relationship with God. And, you know, that's what we experienced last night. More and more people are walking in a right relationship with the Lord in the house. I think Sharon LaPlante, where's your mom? Is she not feeling well? Oh, she's in Calgary. Okay, because I missed her last night. Because Sharon never misses a banquet or anything. And I was saying to Linda, where was Sharon? Where were you? Oh, my goodness. Just so because you were out of sight, you weren't out of mind, okay, girl? And so Sharon, last Sunday or the Sunday before or something, we're just talking about the church because, you know, there's people, like some of you people here that are here 7 years, 8 years, it's wonderful. But there's been people here right from the beginning. And so, you know, they have a perspective on you, okay? And so I said, so what do you think? She says, it's so amazing to see how many people in the church are pressing in with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And I think that what happens is we sensed that last night. Okay? And there was just a peaceful freedom and a natural flow to the whole thing. It doesn't seem like there was one awkward moment in conversation or anything. It was so beautiful. Liz, you said that last night, you know, wasn't it? It was so nice, eh? Even though I know I tease you a little bit and everything, but besides that, it was peaceful, right? You know, so it was good. So it's rather about a relationship between people that flows from a right relationship with God. Now, Advent has not traditionally been something that we've had in Pentecostal circles or charismatic circles, and it comes more from a liturgical type of church, but Advent is a period, okay, of time on the church calendar. In liturgical settings, they have a calendar of events, and you know, if any of you came from a Roman Catholic background, Anglican background, there's certain events that took place on this calendar. And so what it is, it's a time when many Christians prepare to celebrate the first coming of Christ, looking forward to his second coming, okay? And then so then what happens is when they're looking forward to that through the whole month, then when Christmas actually comes, it's so meaningful to each and every one of us. So in our tradition, you know, we have not done that. But for this year, I want us to make Christ the most important reason for this season, without just putting a little badge on or without just saying it, but for us as a family to walk in that together. So I'm a spiritual dad here. Would you allow me to be that? So dad wants to have Christ in the home, and dad wants to speak a blessing over the family, and what better way to do that than to celebrate Jesus Christ? And during Advent, we emphasize hope, we emphasize peace like today, we emphasize joy, we emphasize love, which is what God sent with Christ. Amen? That's what happened. And I'm always praying. Oh, one baby cries, they all cry, and they all leave. It's all good. It's all good. I love babies. Don't you love babies? I love babies so much. I think the last couple of weeks when I was holding all the babies and they were kind of sneezing all over me, I think I got a cold. But it was worth it. Okay, I'm sorry. And hope. So what is hope? Well, we have an inheritance reserved in heaven. Amen? You know, we probably don't think of all that now. You know, as long as we have a good furnace that's going to keep us warm in a North Bay winter sometimes. But we have an inheritance that is reserved in heaven. And that is amazing. And I know that to get through your regular days in your life, and maybe that's not something that you often, like, you think about consciously throughout the day, but for this moment, we're thinking about it consciously. And it's a living hope in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And peace. We will love life and see good days if we turn from evil and do good and seek peace. For the Lord watches over the righteous and hears their prayers. Does anyone know what verse that is? I'll give you a hint. It's in 1 Peter. Okay, don't go there. Okay, joy. We have an inexpressible joy that even though trials come, because of our faith that is tested and proven and genuine, the end of this faith is the salvation of our souls. Right? How many of you had trials this week? Okay. I often say this, and I don't have a verse for it, but you know what? When you allow Jesus Christ into your hearts, into your life, he puts a joy in there, doesn't he? Some days you may not feel all that joyous, but he puts a joy in there. And I need to tell you something, I've said this many times, that joy is permanent. And I could share it with you, and I do share it, hopefully, and you share it with me. But you know what? You can't take that from me. I'll lend it to you. You can use it to fill your hearts with love and everything like this. But you try to take that joy from me, like steal it from me, it's not going to happen. So the thing is, right now at this moment, I just want you to close your eyes for 1 second. And I want you to claim that joy in your heart. And commit to the Lord that you will share it to the best of your ability with the help of the Holy Spirit. But nobody is allowed to steal that with you with words of negativity or hurtfulness or pains that come your way. In spite of the circumstances of all of these things, okay, you can share it, but no one's allowed to steal that from you. So claim it right now. It's all part of your inheritance. Okay, it's all part of your inheritance. Are you good? Are you ready to open your eyes? And then finally, love. We can love one another with a pure heart because we have been born again through the Word of God, which lives and abides in us forever. Isn't that amazing? We could love one another with a pure heart. With a pure heart. Think about that. Before I knew Jesus, I was still a nice guy. Okay? But my motives weren't as pure as they are in this very moment right now. And there's times when I really need to depend on the Lord because my motives can become impure. Can anyone relate to that? Okay, just cut me off on the road. But we could love in a pure heart. So as we focus on Jesus Christ up until through this month, oh my goodness, just allow the fruits of the Spirit to flow through your life and bring all of these things into someone's life. Be a distributor of these things when you're in the mall, and it doesn't matter where. Just do it. And the joy that will come back, the rewards that will come back, the fulfillment that will come back into your life. You're going to be walking through the mall, and they're going to think you're drunk because you're going to be doing a skip in your walk, and it's a happy time. It's a happy time. God is good. And because Christ came first, we can live in this hope. We can live in this peace. We can live in this joy. We can live in this life until he comes back again. Amen? Yes. Amen? And back in the days of Jesus, the world was full of trouble. How many of you know that the world's full of trouble right now? Mr. Soldier Man, there are things that you know that we do not know. Is that correct? Because you monitor the skies of NORAD. And there are things that you know that we don't know. And there are troubles in this world today. And there were troubles in the world back then when Jesus was. There was trouble of doubt. Human hearts, they yearned for peace like we yearn for peace today. But just like our times, that peace eluded them back in the day. And if you're a believer and a follower of Christ this morning, you know that true peace begins with God. Amen? How many of you tried to find true peace without God in your life? And the only the Lord can tip the scales in favor of all of this. And for years, the church had anticipated the birth of Christ during the season of Advent. And during this second week of Advent, we await the peace that comes with the birth of Jesus. And Jesus arrived in a period of 400 years of silence, confusion, and awaiting the Jewish people. Can you imagine right now, right this moment, we turn off the switch and for the rest of your life, the Lord that you have found in your devotions, in the scripture, in the songs that we sing, in the demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit through your life is silent. Totally silent. And you're just wondering when. And this happened for 400 years. 400 years, there was silence and there was confusion and there was this waiting of the Jewish people. And although Rome at the time was in the midst of about 27 years without a war, there was only peace for the Jewish people if they submitted to the rule of Rome. So they weren't free. And in the midst of this unsettling time, Jesus brought peace of God being close to the people as he humbly entered into the frailty and suffering of this world so that we could know him today. And Christmas is a joyous celebration of the birth of peace. The birth of peace. And Christmas cards speak about it. Christmas carols sing about it. Even the angels at Bethlehem proclaim peace on earth. The lion shall lie down with the lamb. And on the night that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, an angel appeared to the shepherds who were watching their sheep in the nearby fields. And the angels told the shepherds that they would find a baby in a manger. And all of a sudden, the multitude of angels, they gathered, praising God with this now famous words, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those to whom God is pleased." It's true. You know why it's true? Because historically, non-Christian sources have proven that Jesus is who he is. Isn't that true? Didn't we watch the case for Christ here? Was that masterful the way that unfolded? So the most important question is, who is Jesus? And if we could determine who Jesus is, then everything else is true, isn't it? So when I say to you, the angels stood and they said, "Glory to be God to God in the highest," it's true. And we could join along with them. So Christ came to bring peace. And his mission was to establish shalom with God. Okay? And we can have peace with God this morning. And we could experience peace, which exceeds anything that we understand. Peace really is beyond anything that we could understand. Did you know that? It's so supernatural. It's so miraculous. It's such a miracle that the shalom, the peace of God, is beyond anything that we can comprehend unless we walk with Him. So that's the key. If you want to experience that, you need to walk with Him. So He came to bring this peace, and His peace was to establish this. The peace of Christ includes all of these things and more. It envisions a world governed by God in which all relationships are fully loving and just. That's the vision that God has for the world. That's the vision He has for you. That's the vision He has for your children. That's the vision He has for this church. This is the vision that He has for the church in the world today. It's masterful. And as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ, we may enjoy this peace we have through God, through Jesus Christ. And we may be given a foretaste of peace on earth that is yet to come. So I have a question for you. And maybe some of you, one of you could just plan to give Linda the heads up for me, please. And so I have a question for you. It's this. In what parts, listen, okay, in what parts of your life, are you, what did I just say? In what parts of your life would you like to experience God's peace today? Close your eyes for a second. Think about that for a minute. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and say it, but just ponder that for a minute. In what areas of your life today would you like to experience the shalom, the peace of God? So just let's take a minute and ponder that for a minute. You settled that in your heart. Good day. So Christmas has increasingly become a holiday that's cut off from its purpose of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to stand here and attack those who don't want to celebrate Christ. I'm just going to celebrate Christ. I don't really have a lot of time to. So what am I? So you know what? I'm not going to change anyone. Christ is going to change them. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about things I don't like. I'm going to celebrate the things I do like. Remember, our default needs to be, you know, some of you here this morning, your default is naturally negative. Mine is extremely positive. Could you just please meet me in the center somewhere? Okay? Because Jesus is amazing. Okay? And there's so much, you know. How many of you, like, you know what? I buy present for Linda. How many of you have to buy more than 5 presents? Okay. How many of you have to buy more than 10 presents? Okay. I know. I get it. I get it. Okay. How many of you are responsible for making all the family come together? How many of you feel pressured over that? Okay. I get it. I get it. It is important for each of us this morning, and I know, okay, I'm preaching to the choir, okay, but it's very, very important in this time that we recapture the season of Advent as time for preparing for Christmas for all of us. I pray that there is a shalom peace that comes over all of us right there. We could go, it was good coming to church today. I have a good perspective. I have a better perspective now about the big picture than I did coming in. And you know, Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming. And the season of Advent has been set aside as a time of preparation for Christmas since at least the second half of the 6th century. And Advent is a time of self-examination, kind of what we've done this morning, and asking for forgiveness as the church is preparing for the second coming, even as it prepares for Christmas. So it's a time of asking for forgiveness, not just demanding what we want from God, but asking a time of forgiveness to say, Lord, forgive us for not putting you, for not making you number one. Amen? Amen. So, I'm waiting for my wife to come. Awkward. You wouldn't know that Linda had stomach flu, eh? Did you see her flying last night at that banquet? I don't know where she gets the energy, but I know some of you need what she has, you know. So do I. So are you shy if I kind of put you on the spot? Are you? What did you think of this service this morning?
I really enjoyed it. You're very exciting to watch.
And what did you think of the banquet last night?
That was amazing. Yeah.
And so what happened to your hand? Did you? Really? Really? Are you okay? Oh yeah. Really? Yeah. Do you believe in the power of prayer to heal?
I've got to have, well, I'm open to believing in
the power of
prayer.
Oh yeah? Hmm. Yeah. Good. Really? Yeah. So all this talk about Jesus today, how did it resonate in your heart? Yeah. Yeah. So have you ever invited him into your life? Yeah. Have you? Yeah, good. It's good, eh? Yeah. Mm. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that's good. So what's your name?
Pat.
And Pat and Heather. Everyone say welcome, Pat and Heather. So come on in, honey.
But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And in Matthew 2, verses 1 to 2 and 9 to 11, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And Isaiah 2, 1 to 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. Then they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." And then in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, "In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.' This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. 'A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River." Will you stand? Amen. Father, we thank you for the Prince of Peace. We thank you that by his blood we are healed. Through his life we have peace. Father, we just thank you for this wonderful time that we can gather together and do just that, Lord. Worship. Worship you. Adore you. Focus in on you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.